The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel as written to us by John. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. A hired man who is not a shepherd and whose sheep are not his own sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf catches and scatters them. This is because he works for pay. He has no real concern for the sheep. But I am the good shepherd. I know mine, and mine know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I will lay down my life for my sheep. Now I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. These also I must lead, and they also will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. And this is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me. I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down and power to take it up again. And this is the command I have received from my Father. This is good news from the Lord. This has often been called Good Shepherd Sunday for obvious reasons. Yet we have no record that in Jesus' lifetime he was ever a shepherd. The tradition, of course, is he worked with his hands, probably a carpenter like his father. And yet, early on, this is the image that either he takes to himself or is given to him. And in his Palestinian culture, of course, sheep herders and goat herders would have been something very common. But what it reveals, it seems, is he must have observed the relationship. And the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep was one of mutual understanding, reading one another's eyes. Any of you who have a dog know what I'm talking about. In many ways, animals are better at reading our feelings, at least domesticated animals. Dogs and horses and sheep and goats, they know how we feel, where we're going, if we're excited, if we're depressed. Really, my dog Venus, she looks up at me, and when she's looking at me in a certain way, I know I'm upset. I didn't know I was upset till I see she's looking at me with an amazing kind of concern. She turns her little head. See, they're smarter than we are in a lot of ways. We don't know our own feelings, but often so-called simpler creatures do. Now, he develops this idea, and he says, they know his voice, and they can tell the difference between one who really cares for them and one who doesn't. And I think he reveals a great danger in all ministry in the church. And what it is working for pay. If you're doing all this to make money, me, you, any of our ministries, that prostitutes everything. If you're not doing it because you love God and you love people, it isn't the work of God. If being a priest or a minister is a mere career choice to give you security or status, you're probably not going to know how to lead the sheep. Not that you're sheep, of course, but the relationship of communion, of caring, that really matters, that really changes people. That has to be there, and you can't fake it. Either you do or you don't. Now, he says this same relationship is the way his Father loves him. And he wants to pass on this mutual giving and receiving that he enjoys with God his Father to us. Now, he says that the sheep naturally hear his voice. You know, I don't know how you teach this in many ways. People who know the Lord, who know the heart of God, as it were, the heart of Jesus, they just intuitively know what God would want. They really don't have to read a book. They don't have to go off to seminary. They just get it. They get it intuitively. And I bet that's true of many of you in this room. You have a sixth sense, like an animal almost, that knows that would be loving. That would not be loving. That would be of God. This would not be of God. You don't have to run and read a book. You just know it. You get it. Now that's the Spirit within you that teaches you, guides you, leads you. It depends not at all on being smart in the intellectual or bookish way, but simply knowing the Lord. And that inner knowing is the work of the Spirit. The gift that God gives is to implant that Spirit in every one of your hearts. It's already there. The only difference is some of you have learned how to hear it. Some of you learn how to pay attention and follow that inner voice. You might call it conscience. You might call it the Holy Spirit. You might simply call it knowing the truth. It doesn't matter what you call it. The point is that you have to learn to know the Lord and to know that Spirit, to know, as this gospel would say, the voice of the Master. Now that short second reading that Anna read for us so well is actually one of my favorites. It says that what you know is so simple that you are a child of God. This isn't an intellectual knowing. It's a heart knowing. That you are objectively, every one of you in this room, a son and daughter of God. Now, if you really know that, that changes everything. It gives you a dignity when you wake up every day that nothing else can give to you and nothing can take away from you. And it says, in the end, you will know that you are just like him, that he is in you and you are in God. Brothers and sisters, that's pretty much the whole Christian message. All the rest is window dressing. All the rest is accidental. People say, I do this or I don't do that. If you know objectively, happily, joyfully, that you are a child of God, then that inner knower, that inner lover, will teach you everything else you need to know. And you can trust in that, you can abide in that, you can rest in that, and find your entire identity, not just when you come here on Sunday morning, but every hour and every minute of the rest of the week.